Blog Talk Radio.
That used to be a beer commercial, and now we could use it as a religious commercial. We're in trouble, guys. We're really in big trouble. I mean, guys are knocking off girls all over the place. They're killing them. They're setting their houses on fire. They're kidnapping their daughters. Oh, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Have we become a nation of perverts? Are we all sick? I can't change the channel without seeing some woman getting hacked to death. Somebody being impaled on 50 swords. Oh, my God. It is disgusting. How can you raise children in this day and age? You have to keep them in one room, and you have to quickly monitor the TV all day long. It is really sick. Absolutely sick. I'm with a kid, and we're looking on a computer, a little kid. And we're looking on a computer for ABC games. And you get ABC games and another variation of ABC games, and then up comes some porn site. I mean, come on, man. What are we doing? We're self-destructing. We're a nation of fools. Well, tonight I'm going to give you a good show. We're going to give you a lot of music. We're going to give you some politics. And we'll tickle your fancy. So get your fancy in the right position, and we'll do the gypsy right now. It's a story about a guy who doesn't want to believe that his loved one has betrayed him. It's almost like our relationship with the Congress and the Senate.
In a quaint caravan, there's a lady they call the Gypsy. She can look in the future and drive away all your fears. Everything will come if you only believe the gypsy. She can tell at a glance that my heart was so full of tears. She looked at my hand and told me my lover was always true. And yet in my heart I knew, dear, somebody else was kissing you. But I'll go there again, 'cause I want to believe the gypsy. That my lover is true and will come back.
What was that? I think that was the Ink Spots. Today that would be a racial slur. Yeah, unbelievable. I used to know a rock and roll group called the Crows. That would be a racial slur today, too. The PC police are watching everything. You got to be careful what you say. What used to mean something years ago does not mean that way today. There's a blog out on the internet tonight, and there's talk, and I don't know how accurate it is. You got to take everything with a grain of salt, and you got to weigh carefully what you see, what you hear. There used to be an old saying, believe half of what you see and nothing of what you hear. And this report out tonight on the internet is that there's going to be a million Muslim march on Washington, D.C. on September 11th, 2013. And I said, oh, man, the only thing they could do worse than that would be to do the Million Man March on the World Trade Center. And I got to tell you, I get bad vibes when I see that new World Trade Center. And I wonder, it only takes one hijacked plane. I hope it's strong. I hope they built it with that in mind. Anyway, I flash back. I was when I heard that Million Man March and how that could create a lot of anti-Muslim feeling in the country, and might lead to a confrontation, a big, heavy confrontation. And the writer of the article was saying that's what Obama wants, so he can declare martial law. And let me tell you, he better have one marshal with a badge when he declares martial law, because that's not going to go over at all. There's going to come a time when the light bulb is going to come on the sleeping giant, and all hell is going to break loose. And I don't want to be in the middle of it. I'll tell you that right now. Because you don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know how it's going to turn out. This guy is playing with matches in an ammo dump. But anyway, I flash back to 1993. I was in Kuwait in 1993. I was one of the first businessmen to fly in on a CIA plane with a one-way ticket, because the genius Commerce Department found out that we had just liberated Kuwait and the Brits were steaming into Kuwait with a trade ship full of goodies to sell the Kuwaitis, because the Kuwaitis had nothing. You would not believe what Saddam ripped out of Kuwait. You have no idea. I looked at buildings. I thought they were all bullet holes in the buildings, artillery holes. They were missing air conditioners. They took all the air conditioners. If you were caught with a fax machine, it was the death penalty. Businessmen didn't even have cards anymore. There was nothing, absolutely nothing. The officers stole the big money cars, and the enlisted men stole the spare parts to sell to the officers. You have no idea what Saddam did to Kuwait. You have no idea. And God forbid it should ever happen to you and me in this country. As an insult, there's no greater insult than to rape your wife and to have the troops do it. And Saddam, when he was pouring into Kuwait, rounded up all the Kuwaiti women and mothers and daughters that he could find, and he sent them to the Kuwait Zoo. And if you remember seeing the Iraqi troops in the Kuwait Zoo, they were killing all the caged animals, but they never showed you the uncaged animals raping the mothers and daughters of Kuwait. They never showed you that. And being Muslim, abortion is a sin. So many, many of those mothers and daughters had the children. You talk about living with a problem. But anyway, when the Kuwaitis got their country back, the first thing they did was they went after the Palestinians. There's a strategy in Kuwait that they go out and they hire different generations of countries. For example, there was a Pakistani era, and they were living in the Palestinian era. Most of the managers and store operators, they were Palestinian. And in order to be in business in Kuwait, you have to have a Kuwaiti partner, and the Kuwaiti partner gets a percentage. And it could be anywhere from 5% to 51%. According to Kuwaiti law, it's supposed to be 51%, but the Kuwaitis will write you a little side deal if they want to take less. And it's the same in Dubai, same in the United Arab Emirates. A Kuwaiti or an Emirati, they all have to have a piece of the action. The government looks out for them. Not like here in your country, in my country, okay? But anyway, so the Palestinians were in positions of management and control. And the story goes that prior to the invasion of Kuwait by Saddam Hussein, the Palestinians transferred all their money out of Kuwait. So that tells the Kuwaitis that the Palestinians knew Saddam was coming. So in retaliation, okay, and you had to hear the Kuwaitis, they could not believe that the Iraqis would come and loot their country. When they got word from us, from our intelligence, that the Iraqis were on the border, they didn't take it serious. And when I came there, all I could hear was, I can't believe that a brother Arab would do that to a brother Arab. And so, in retaliation for the betrayal that the Kuwaitis believed happened to them by the Palestinians, they threw every Palestinian out of the country. Everyone. They seized their businesses. They seized their assets. And I was on a highway one night, on a road going back to the hotel. And there were checks all over, road checks, roadblocks all over the place. And I put my American passport on the right in the windshield. And the Kuwaiti soldier with the machine gun, and looked in the window, and he seen the American passport, and he gave me a salute. because they loved the Americans after the liberation. That wore off in about the 10 days. No, it took a while to wear off, but they loved the Americans. Americans could do no wrong. I was at the airport, my visa had expired, and they brought me to a colonel, and he goes, you know, usually the visas are for like 30 days, or 2 months, or 3 months. And he goes, how many months you want? You want 6 months? You want a year? Tell me what you want. In the meantime, some poor Indian is trying to get in the door. They're treating him like dirt. But anyway, they started to round up all of the Palestinians. So I'm at this checkpoint, and I'm waiting for this guy to clear me. And I look over at the car next to me, and there's two men in the car, and the Kuwaiti National Guard is pulling the two guys out of the car. The tow truck pulls up. Tow truck takes the car, and the two guys were taken right to the airport. They were Palestinians, and that's how quick they shot them out of the country. It got to the point that the president of the Kuwait Bank, one of the Kuwait banks, one of the big banks, was Palestinian, and so the Kuwaitis went to the Emir of Kuwait and said, this man is indispensable. We cannot let him go. And the Emir of Kuwait said, if he is that indispensable, close the bank. And they said, no, he's not that indispensable. All right? And that's in about, I would say, 30 days, all the Palestinians were gone. As a matter of fact, all of the taxi cabs in Kuwait are red Chevy Caprices. Many of them. Now they got the other brands, but at the time, Chevy Caprice was, they loved the Chevy Caprice, the big ones, because they had good traction in the desert when they were trying to get to escape Saddam. But all of the cabs were red Chevy Caprices. And the cabbie picked me up at the airport, and on his radio he was listening to Arabic music, and he immediately changed it to American music. I said, no, leave on the Arabic music. I like it. He goes, no, it's okay. He stopped the cab. He opened the trunk, and he had a big coffee urn, and he was pouring me coffee. So the reason I tell you that all of the cabs were red Chevy Caprices, because I was with a guy who worked for a big chiller company, you know, the chillers that are on top of the big hotel buildings. And he took pity on me because I was new to the Middle East, and he spoke Arabic. And he goes, where do you want to go? I said, I got to see some auto parts guys. He says, I'll take you. And he took me. He stayed with me. So we're waiting for a cab, and this red Chevy Caprice pulls up, and we both jump in the back, and then we notice that there's a Koran on the dashboard, and the guy has an AK-47 covered in his headdress, another headdress. So my friend says to him, what are you doing, hunting Iraqis? And he goes, no. He goes, I'm hunting Palestinians. So we said, oh, okay. And then after he dropped us off where we were going, we thanked him. He wouldn't take any money. And when my friend said to me when we got out of the cab, you cannot argue with these people. So there's your advice when you're going to negotiate with the Taliban. You cannot argue with these people. So having said that, I just wanted to let you know what it was like when the Palestinians were thought to have betrayed the Kuwaitis. Now, if there's a million-man march in Washington, D.C., and all hell breaks loose, you know that things have to change. You know that laws are going to get broken. Okay? And let's hope it never comes to that. My job is to bring us all together. That's the thing I'm dedicating my life to, and that's to unite the United States and put an end to this racial divide, to this ethnic divide, to this cultural divide, and all of the elements that have come into this country to destroy it, playing splinter groups. And we got to put an end to it because we're in trouble. We can't even pay our bills. And you want to know something? We could have that $17 trillion buried in profits in a short amount of time if they open up the oil spigots. And not only that, when they open up the oil spigots in the USA, it's going to cut down on terrorism, because the people that are sponsoring it will have to take the jihad tax off the oil they're exporting in order to survive. In 1998, I was in Abu Dhabi, and the price of oil in November of 1998 was $10 a barrel, and President Clinton was president. And that worm from New Mexico, Richardson, was the Secretary of Energy. And the oil reserves in the United States at $10 a barrel were only two-thirds full. Any housewife who sees a bargain stocks up, but not us, because we have a government that wastes everything. We have a tax junkie government. So having said that, let me cheer you up with a tune. Let's see if we'll do a Zoom. You want a Zoom? Did you hear the saxophone in the break? You know, right now we're a country on the decline. The only musical instrument left in the United States is a guitar. There are no other musical instruments anymore. Do you remember the 40s? You don't remember the 40s, but if you ever see a picture of the 40s, they all had big bands. Big band sounds. Fantastic sounds. Pianos, vibraphone, vibraharp, marimbas. Unbelievable. Saxophones, trumpets, trombones. Today, you get three guys on a stage. They all got guitars. Not even a guy with a kazoo. It's terrible. We're out of the space race. We're out of everything, man. And everybody's on food stamps. And the Department of Agriculture is even sending the food stamps to Mexico. So when they get across the border, they can pick up some food. Hey, it's wonderful, you know. But charity should begin at home. And we should take care of some of the American Indians who never complain. When was the last time you heard a Chinese guy complain? When was the last time you heard an American Indian complain? When was the last time you heard an Indian complain from India? You never hear them complain. What is it? What is it? 10% of the population cries all the time and makes 80% of the noise? It's like these meddlesome people. You ever see these people? They join groups and committees just so that they can have a little bit of power and destroy everybody's good time. Have you met the meddlesomes? Here are the meddlesomes.
Welcome to the Meddlesome Show with Daryl and Star Meddlesome.
Hi, I'm Star.
We're welcoming you today because this is our brand new show and we're just opening it up and we've just moved into a brand new neighborhood. And let us kick off our show and then we'll tell you the issues of the day.
Cause you've got personality. Walk with personality. Talk with personality. Smile with personality. Charm with personality. Love with personality. And plus you got a great big heart. So over and over. Well, I'll be a fool for you. Over and over. What more can I do?
Wasn't that a tremendous opening? We the Meddlesomes have now moved into Meddlesome, New York. A little bedroom community for people 25 and older. And it's really wonderful. We had to leave our other community because we were getting a lot of death threats. But now that we're here, we're starting afresh, and we want to just get involved with this community like we got involved in the other one. And right now, Star, honey, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm reading the association bylaws.
And what do they say?
Well, they say that the next-door neighbor, his American flag, is 1 centimeter older than the required height.
So we'll bring that up at the next meeting, won't we, Star?
Oh, it can't wait. We love to be part of the community. We love to mingle. We're the Meddlesomes.
Who's at the door, dear?
It looks like one of those veterans from the foreign wars, you know, the ones that sell the poppies.
Well, see what he wants.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Yes, ma'am. I'd like to know if you care to donate to the veterans of foreign wars.
He wants a donation, Daryl.
Well, what kind of donation does he want, dear?
How much do you want?
Well, anything you care to give, ma'am.
He says anything we care to give. Well, give him 15 cents and ask him to sign our petition to have all the crosses removed from the cemeteries. Would you sign? Hello? Hello? Daryl, do you remember last week when that man was walking his dog in front of our house and he didn't have a pooper scooper and we turned him in? And we read Clause 23 of the town ordinance, and they put his dog to death?
Yes, dear.
Well, he's back. He's on our front lawn with a goddamn elephant.
Call a sheriff, dear. Call a sheriff. He must be a Republican. He's one of those terrorists. He's probably a veteran. He's one of those terrorists that Janet Napolitano warned us about.
This is Daryl here, and I hope you're enjoying our show. We put it all together just for you. We're the Meddlesomes. It's Daryl and Star Meddlesome.
Hi, I'm Star.
And we're now going to get dressed, and we're going to go to Town Hall, and we're going to get the Ten Commandments removed from the building. So let's give you our theme, because we're the Meddlesomes.
Cause you've got personality. Walk with personality. Talk with personality. Smile with personality. Charm with personality. Love with personality. And plus you got a great big heart. So over and over. Well, I'll be a fool for you. Over and over. Now over. Over and over.
this is Star Meddlesome. Daryl and I are going out today. We were supposed to leave early this morning and get the petition signed to legalize marijuana, but this little girl opened up a lemonade stand across the street, and we had to wait for the Food and Drug Administration to take her away. You'd think they would be quicker when we call. Yes, they took her away because she's only about 5 years old, and this is a 25 and older community. So they put her outside the gate because we're a gated community. And we don't want anybody inside our gate that doesn't belong here. So Daryl and I are going out now. Oh, they fined that little girl $85,000. That'll straighten them out. Can't have people getting out of hand. They have to obey the law. And there's not enough laws in this country. I want a law with every congressman's name on it. Well, Daryl and I are going out now. We're gonna do some community service. We're going to get our petition signed today to legalize marijuana. Yes, and Daryl and I, we're from the hippie generation. We were free lovers and free thinkers, and we used to do a lot of weed, as they called it back then. And but now we're too old to do that. So I just take the Marinol, and Daryl, he takes marijuana in suppository form. You ought to see him inhale. You would think his lungs were in his ass. Oh, right next to his brains. Well, we're going to go out. Everybody loves to legalize marijuana. If we're successful in passing marijuana legislation, then there won't have to be any drug-free zones in front of the schools anymore. The kids can do the drugs right in the classroom. Yes, and I also, Daryl and I are working on a book, How to Raise Children According to the State. I'm going to break for a little theme song now, and then we'll discuss what's going on in this country and how we can get involved.
'Cause you've got personality, walk with personality, talk with personality.
Going to give you an intro to Flanders Fields. You heard me in that episode with Daryl and Star, where a veteran knocked on the door and he had poppies. Poppies grow in Flanders Fields, and they're a symbol of the sacrifice of the World War One generation who laid down their life so that we could successfully live ours. And so this poem, I'll give it to you, and then I'll see if it's covered. The story is covered. If it's not, I'll cover it for you.
Hiya, boys and girls. This is Captain Boycott. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party book.com. And I just wanted to share this little poem with you. My brother sent it to me. He took it off a wall in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And it's a poem about World War One, and it's written by a Canadian officer and doctor, and who had just watched a young man die, and as he officiated at the burial ceremony, which took place almost at the battlefield, he jotted down this poem, and a mailman had come by, a fellow trooper had come by who was delivering the mail, and he read it to him, and they both felt it was a pretty decent poem. And what happened was he didn't think so he crumpled it up and he threw it in a ditch, and somebody picked it up and they sent it to the London Times, who rejected it, but another newspaper picked it up and printed it. And today, it's well known throughout the world. And the poem is called In Flanders Fields. And it's a good reminder, as George Patton says, that the war has been going on since the beginning of time, and war will continue to go on until the end of time. In Flanders Fields. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow. And if you ever seen these little poppies, sometimes outside of churches, veterans sell them to remind you of the losses that we incurred in World War I, along with the Canadians and the British and the Germans and the French. And that was supposed to be the war to end all wars. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from falling hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. So that's from one warrior to another, and you can pass that on through the spirit of America.
Just you know why you and I will by and by know true love why. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes you cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love why. Throughout the day, our true love why will bring us joys to with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just
the great Buddy Holly. There's an outfit called MoveAmericaForward.org, and they support the troops. And they're over there with the troops, and they raise care packages for the troops. And they did a little editorial on a guy who died on the 2nd of August in 2006. And it looks like it might be written by his mother, so as we get into it, we'll figure it out together. And it's called Remembering Mark, U.S. Navy SEAL Mark Allen Lee, 3/20/78 to 8/2/2006. Last week marked the anniversary of August 2nd. That day will never be the same for me. For most people, it's just another a sunny summer day, filled with normal routines. But for me, it will always be that day. August the 2nd, 2006, is a day that forever changed my life. It was another sunny day in Arizona 7 years ago, but across the world in Ramadi, Iraq, it was a different story. I couldn't even tell you what I did that day, but that evening I was at my small group and we were celebrating my birthday, which had been the week before. Within 30 minutes, life would change from cake, ice cream, and receiving the gift of a willow tree angel named Courage, to using that courage to survive the most devastating moments of my life. I arrived home to find my son Christopher waiting on the sidewalk to inform me the Navy was there. I glanced at the two Navy officers in their dress whites on my porch, and I fell into Christopher's arms and cried no. I knew why they were there. We entered the house and they tried to prepare me for what they were about to tell me. They had been in my home for about 30 minutes while Chris tried to find me. We can tell by being in your home you're a woman of faith and you're going to need to rely on your faith for what we were about to tell you. Your son, Mark Allen Lee, has been killed in action. I couldn't breathe. I felt the pain in the core of my being that no parent ever should have to feel. I began to cry my river. It's hard to believe it has been 7 years since that young man sacrificed his life defending his teammates and our freedoms. I still can't comprehend how you can fight in an intense firefight for 2 hours in extreme temperatures of 120 degrees, carrying 150 to 180 pounds, and still have the mental focus and strength to make the decision to do the right thing and risk your life for others. Courage like Mark displayed just doesn't happen. It is ingrained in you by your Creator. It is the choice to follow the biblical morals and values taught to you. It is the opportunity to practice in other difficult circumstances that life brings you or your buds instructors produce. Mark displayed physical and moral courage, often witnessed on the battlefield, but courage need not be displayed only in the battlefields of combat as we fight and defend America and the freedoms we have been blessed with. Less than 1% of the country fights for this country. 99% live in another world. And one day we'll be truly horrified when we see we have lost our country. And don't think it never can happen. Happens all the time. Our American history is rich in examples of patriots who displayed courage in numerous circumstances. They are not teaching American history in the communist cucumber schools. I was shocked to learn that members of my family who have been well educated, according to the Times, did not know what Fort Ticonderoga was. They thought Ethan Allen was a furniture store. They didn't know about the Green Mountain Boys. They didn't know about Benedict Arnold. Never knew who Benedict Arnold was. They didn't know who Major Andre was, who was caught with the plans for West Point in his boot and hanged right on the spot. And we got Major Hassan of 4 years. He's waltzing around singing Waltzing Matilda. And you got two KGB agents that have One is in prison and the other has fled back to KGB land. And he's with KGB veterans right now. So our American history is rich in examples of patriots who displayed courage in numerous circumstances. And you want to know what else they don't teach in communist cucumber school? They don't teach geography. Now, why don't they teach geography? Because it's not part of the One World Plan? Yep. Willing to give everything if need be for what they believed in, to provide liberty and a better life to those they left behind. Those they left behind appreciate their sacrifice, but 99% of the country could care less. Sorry, the truth hurts. When you got a guy, this is a mother writing about her son, and when you got a flag-burning, baby-killing senator named Levin from Michigan talking about blood and treasure and how we can't spend on the military, this woman's national treasure is gone. She didn't have gold. Her national treasure was her son. Our American history is rich in example of patriots. There's a huge hole that is left from his absence. I will never share the dinner table with him or feel his arms hug me in the way only a mother and son can hug, or see his smirky grin, beautiful brown eyes, dark curly locks, or experience his playful antics or his encouraging words. I won't get that dance at his wedding, or hold his children and watch them grow, or have him hold me or care for me when I get old. I thought about on 9/11, which in a couple of months later was Thanksgiving, and everybody was sitting around the dining room table, and there was that one empty chair that belonged to a fireman, head of the family, or a Wall Street worker, head of the family, and how it must have felt for the widows and the children of those who died on 9/11, and how a wife can go to bed at night and still smell the presence of her husband on the pillow with an aching heart. It is hard. It is really hard. Yes, there are so many blessings in the midst of this deep loss. Mark's sacrifice and his last letter home have inspired millions of people around the world. That young man is perhaps more alive in his spirit that is still here than he was in life. I had no choice in the news that was delivered to me on August the 2nd, and I did have a choice, but I didn't have a choice now, and I responded. God made it very clear to me that night, as I read Psalms 27, that he was right there with me. He was my rock and my strength. I would have lost hope if I had not believed. I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord, Psalms 27:15-16. I had seen God do amazing things in my life, and I had confidence in him. Did you hear the story today about an accident on a highway? A 26-year-old guy under the influence of alcohol hit a girl about 19 years old in another vehicle, and she was trapped in the vehicle, and the fire rescue crew that came couldn't get her out, and they were laboring for almost an hour to get her out, and the girl asked, she thought she was dying, and she asked them to pray with her, and they were praying. And a priest showed up and anointed her head with oil and said she was going to be all right and that she would survive. And when they turned around, the priest was gone. And they don't know where he came from or how he got there. And another truck showed up with better equipment, and they rescued her. So, you never know. I had seen God do amazing things in my life. Mark's name means mighty warrior, and today I remember him as I do every day, honor his courage and sacrifice. He left behind his weapon, his armor, and his boots. and laid down his baton, which I picked up and carry on. To everyone who served and sacrificed for my freedoms and yours, I say thank you. Mark's final gift to me was his teammates, and I'm blessed to have so many adopted boys and share their families and their love. God multiplied my family exponentially, and I am a blessed woman. So as you enjoy your sunny August 2nd and live your normal life and watch your children and grandchildren play today, give them an extra hug, count your blessings, and remember our fallen warriors who sacrificed all their tomorrows and hope for a future that you could enjoy today. Remembering my son, my mighty hero warrior. That's Debbie Lee, Gold Star mother. And there's a picture of Navy SEALs, and they're sitting around a marquee that says Camp Mark Lee. So some camp is named after him, and that's great. That's absolutely great. And what was I going to tell you? Something came to mind. Well, I'll lighten it up a little bit for you. We don't want to get too maudlin. We got an interview with the Queen of England, if you like that. Would you like to hear the interview with the Queen of England?
Welcome to the Spirit of America, a radio show. And as I promised you, an exclusive, and tonight we have it, we are interviewing the Queen of England. Your Majesty, welcome to the Spirit of America Party, a radio show.
Very well. How are you?
Your Majesty, how do you like your tour of the USA?
It's always nice to be in the colonies. I love everybody.
Your Majesty, did you go to Washington to see the President?
No, I'm only going to see white people.
Your Majesty, the President is half white.
I said I'm only going to see white people. I love white people. We have enough trouble with the wogs back home. They're running amok. They're messing up Buckingham Palace. Wearing their burkas. Hiding their faces. Shouting God knows what.
Your Majesty, did you know that President Obama sent back the bust of Winston Churchill to England?
Oh, yes, we retaliated. We sent back a Walt Disney star baby.
Your Majesty, were you glad that President Bill Clinton sent Mr. Mitchell over to heal the rift between the Brits and the Irish and bring peace to the Irish people?
Let me tell you something about Bill Clinton. He's a clerk. He's an errand boy. He's sent by clerks to collect a grocery bill. I saw that in Apocalypse Now with Marlon Brando. I love Marlon Brando.
Well, how about the healing process that Mr. Mitchell brought to Ireland?
And that jerk, he couldn't fight his way out of a paper bag. He should have left us all alone. We're worse off now than we were before. All they do is monkey face for the cameras.
You know that the President Obama is sending Mr. Mitchell to heal the rift between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
A fat chance that would be. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. The guy mocked up the Irish peace talks, and now he's going to talk to crazies. He's going to bring them all back to sanity. Yes, of course. Yes, we'll all wait on that one, won't we?
Do you have an illegal alien problem like we do in the United States?
Oh, yes, we have the Pakis. The Pakis are a burden to the entire country. If I had my way, I'd shuffle them all off to Buffalo. With their chanting in their mosques. They're a disgrace. You know they want to put me in a burqa. Could you see me in a burqa? Maybe Prince Charles, but not me.
Your Majesty, I understand that you knighted one of the Beatles. Which one was it?
It was the pimply face one, Paul Mafatney. They wanted me to knight John Lennon, but I got to tell you a secret. I hate all those little bugs. I hate Beatles.
Well, how about Mickey Jagger? Would you knight him?
I'd rather see him with his tongue nailed to the gallows floor. The British Invasion, they call themselves. They're nothing but a bunch of drug addicts. Yes, yes, snorting up the world. Was he the one with the purple sunglasses that married the Harry Carey girl? Was that him? John Lennon? Yes, that was him, I think. Yeah, he left to go to the United States because he didn't want to pay the vigorish to the Queen.
What do you think of Prince Charles marrying Camilla Parker Bowles?
Oh, that's her name, is it? I thought it was Bowles. She has a face like a bowel. Not since Henry VIII have I seen such a horse. Yes, she makes Anna Cleves look like Marilyn Monroe. Yes, do you know that they tried to pass a law that the parents could go to jail for spanking their children? Did you know that? Do you know when they wanted to pass it? They wanted to pass it on a Friday night, but they postponed it because over the weekend Camilla wanted to punish Charles. He had been naughty again. He had to wear those long stockings.
Well, Your Majesty, we thank you for your time. And are there any other states you're going to visit?
Oh, yes, I'm going to Arizona. I'm going to support the people of Arizona. They're the only ones that know what's going on in this country. I love white people, especially the Mexicans.
Your Majesty, did you ever meet Bill Clinton when he was hiding out in London, avoiding the draft?
Oh, yes, I met the bugger. He was bumming marijuana cigarettes on the street, wearing a beard, protesting the war. Boy, what a two-faced bastard he is. He'd sell his mother for a tin whistle. I understand he made $137 million in government. Oh, and he didn't even take up a second collection. And he got a golden saxophone from an Israeli agent who sells arms to the Iranians. He groped me one time on the reception line. Then he said, "I'm sorry, I thought you were Captain Willie." He wanted to know if I deliver pizza wearing a beret. But his wife is the real McCoy. She really is. You know, she's in the book of Revelation. Yes, she's going to be the next president. It's in the book of Revelation. And a beast will appear in the sky. And will have seven heads. And her tail will sweep the stars from the heavens.
Well, that's all the time we have today, Your Majesty. We do thank you for dropping in. Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yes, I love tea parties. I hope the Tea Party wins in November. Get rid of all those bums.
That's it, folks. www.spiritofamericapartyradioshow.com. You heard it here first. Except no substitutes. Did I say substitutes? Yeah. O'Reilly had on two prosecutors, and I thought I said substitutes. Yeah, he had two prosecutors on. I said, yeah. Well, you know, these two women are prosecutors. I said, you know what? It's not a bad profession, but you can't stay in it all your life. And you got to watch out for those STDs. If you can't figure out who to vote for in November, get my book, Spirit of America Party. There are names in there of people not to vote for. And
You can't miss it. It's got an American Eagle on the cover, and it says, "Take Me to the Beach." Spirit of America Party.
Going to play the tune that that the military played when they put a Geronimo on a train to allow him to rejoin his tribe. I think it was in Florida. But this is the tune that they put as they sent a Geronimo to Florida. Very good. Okay. So, and now we'll give you, I was just thinking of Geronimo, I'm thinking of the American Indians, who are more American than any of us, and you never hear them complain. They never complain. They're just warriors. I watched a show one night, and a guy was trying to play the race card, and he was a black guy, and he turned to this Indian that was there, and he goes, "And you people were oppressed too." And the Indian guy says, "Whoa, wait a minute." I said, "My people are warriors. We fought and lost. Don't compare us." And American Indians serve with great courage in the U.S. military. So we'll give you a little war chant.
Up at Woodland to the place where Dizzy dwells. In the beards and the funny hats they love so well. All the boppers are assembled, and when they're really high, they constitute a weird personnel. All the riffs these cats are playing are crazy, cool, and gone like this. Ooly-oo, Scooby-Goo, Ooby-Dooby-Dooby, Ooppa-Bee-Doppin' like that. So let them beat their brains out till their flatted fifths are gone, and they'll pass and be forgotten like the rest. Poor little cats who have lost their way. Ba 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 ba. Baba, yes, Dixieland music. They condemn, but every wrong note that they play is a gem. So Lord have mercy on every one of them, for they baba.
Stay awake, watch Fox, keep an eye on your enemies, and never get caught off guard. We're going to steal away and say goodnight.
Steal away, let's steal away, no reason left to stay. For me and you, let's start anew, and darling, steal away.
Steal away, let's steal away. For me and you, let's start.